This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A central banking pioneer of negative interest rates ends its experiment with the controversial policy. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Sweden's Riksbank raised its benchmark rate a quarter percentage point to 0% today, a level it hasn't seen since 2015. Concerns about how sub-zero rate policy will permanently change the economy fueled the decision, as ING economist James Smith explains.
They're worried about if negative rates are in place for longer, does it change people's behavior, the way they hold cash? Does it affect bank profitability? Lots of considerations. And that seems to be at the heart of today's decision, because actually, if you look at the economy, the indicators suggest that things aren't looking so great. There's early signs the jobs market is weakening as well. So it's not the usual set of circumstances that you would raise interest rates in. So this is really about that negative rate policy.
Still, though, a number of other central banks, including the ECB, have rates in negative territory. Could this decision from the Riksbank influence other policymakers around the world?
Perhaps. I mean, this is a debate which has been going on for quite some time. And the Riksbank has a history of being one of the more innovative central banks. So perhaps this will spark a wider debate about the sort of side effects of monetary policy. I think for the time being, when we look at, say, the European Central Bank, I don't think this is necessarily going to spark a big change in thinking there just yet. But this is a debate which certainly has further to run.
With the global economic outlook dimming, how likely is it that it will stay out of negative rate territory?
This is going to be a very much a one and done move. Now they're out of negative interest rates, there's very little impetus to raise interest rates further from here. I think it would take a more pronounced both domestic and global downturn for today's move to be reversed.
James Smith, economist at ING. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, the Bank of England is next on deck today with a rate decision of its own, but it's not the expectation that rates will hold steady that's grabbing attention. Instead, it's an investigation the bank has launched about how a backup audio feed of its market-moving post-decision press conferences has been used. The BBC's Andrew Walker explains.
The bank says that there is a third-party supplier, it hasn't said who has been selling that audio feed on to a financial information service firm who has then been sending it on to various hedge funds, who have been using that few seconds of advance information to trade in the financial market.
And that's the difference between millions of dollars for some of these hedge funds.
Potentially, yes, particularly if you're trading in very large volumes. Fairly small movements in, for example, a future contract to buy a government bond could indeed make you millions of dollars.
It's important to note, though, this isn't insider trading, right? These feeds didn't break any time embargoes, and it is a live event.
This is not a question of anybody sharing information that should either be kept private or made available to the whole market. This is information, in this case, that is made available to the whole market. It just happens a few seconds later.
Now, the Times of London, which broke this story, says high-speed audio services of ECB, Federal Reserve, and Bank of Canada meetings were also sold for thousands of dollars. Do you think this will spark a review, maybe, of how the banks safeguard information?
I'm sure they'll be looking at the technical aspects of ensuring that they can keep these things secure. And the Bank of England has already announced that this unnamed party who is the subject of the investigation has already had their access to this audio feed discontinued and they won't get back to it in the future. But yeah, sure, it is an issue that I have no doubt. All central banks who have the potential to have their information used in this way will be looking at it very carefully.
The BBC's Andrew Walker. Thank you.
My pleasure, Victoria.
Let's do the numbers. London's FTSE 100 is slightly higher while the pound stabilizes after 2 days of declines. Investors are awaiting a speech from Queen Elizabeth. She'll outline her government's plans for the year end, which are likely to include a bill to ratify terms of the UK's EU exit. It's been 1 month since Bolivian President Evo Morales resigned. Now the country's public prosecutor ordered his arrest on charges of sedition and terrorism. Political upheaval has exacerbated economic problems for the country, where two-thirds of its wealth is untaxed. The BBC's Katie Watson reports from a hilltop community called El Alto.
El Alto is a city populated mostly by indigenous immigrants who've moved from rural areas to find work. I meet Vilma Javier Estancar, a woman selling alpaca jumpers under a tarpaulin store.
People don't come into shopping centers. They prefer to just pick up things along the way in the street. In shopping centers, you have to pay taxes too, so it doesn't add up.
A long cable car ride away, I meet Marcelo Solis, commercial manager of Master Blends, distillers of Bolivia's first gin made at altitude.
50 to 70% of the spirits economy is informal. It's very complicated, especially the smuggling, because you can bring like jeans like Beefeater, Bombay Sapphire, that if you import them legally, they cost like the double or triple of our price. But when they bring smuggling, it's like $5 less our price.
It's an issue that impacts not just companies' bottom lines, though. Jimena Costa is an analyst and politician.
It's deadly for a country because you can't even promote the issue of industrialization, work with small and medium businesses, because they operate outside the state. The population is about 10 million. Well, the weight of the economy is being carried by around 1 or 1.5 million people.
With such a huge part of Bolivia's economy working outside of the law, tackling informality will be a formidable challenge that is made all the harder as Bolivia looks towards fresh elections amid a deeply uncertain economic future.
That's the BBC's Katie Watson reporting there. Finally, Christmas came early for some Moscow commuters who found thousands of rubles mistakenly added to their payment cards. Rather than take the money back, though, authorities are considering the extra funds an early holiday present. That extra pocket change goes a long way. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.